And she's smart, and her smile could melt an iceberg. Her little coos and gurgles, oh, she'll be singing with me in no time. Just having her around gets you all kinds of positive attention and love. As I was working on this very sermon at Panera Bread, I was given a free cookie for her. And I'll tell you what, I took it. Even though she can't eat solid foods yet. She's a bit traumatic, like me, but in a fun way, not in an obtrusive or obnoxious way, hopefully also like me. She always looks like she's thinking about something, just like her daddy. And her snuggles, top tier. See, I can sugarcoat the past couple of months, too. Because all that stuff I just said is true. Just like it's true that God is the one who taught Israel to walk, as in, who taught them everything they know about life. And it's true that God holds us in God's arms, and it's true that God heals us and leads us and feeds us and lifts us up, that God loves us and will always love us. All of those things are true. They're just not the whole story. Because sometimes parenting is really, really, really hard. Over the past 2 months, right up until a week or so ago, I averaged 4 hours of sleep per 24-hour period, and not consecutively. For 2 months. And it's true. She only cries when she's hungry. Trouble is, she's always hungry. All the time. And I have to feed her because she doesn't stop eating long enough for me to pump. And low-key, she hates bottles. It's rare I make it through a day with one outfit because I get bodily fluided on. I had to handwrite the first draft of this sermon because writing with one hand is easier than typing with one hand. And the reason I had to do it one-handed is if I put her down for too long, she acts like I've committed a hate crime. Thank goodness for great-grandma who held her just long enough for me to type up the notes I'd already made so I wouldn't have to decipher my own handwriting in real time in front of you lovely folks. So those of you thinking, why don't you just memorize your sermons? Listen. If I didn't have the brain power to do it before attitude, I don't have it now. Clem headbutts. Her little fingernails are like razors, no matter how short I keep them. And sometimes she acts up all day long just to become a perfect angel the minute Luke gets home. Which makes me feel like she likes him better. Not to mention all the fun and freedom we had before. Not to mention how I've come to realize that being a parent means being worried about her at least a little bit, if not a whole lot, all of the time for the rest of my life. All of which to say, parenting, not all sunshine and roses. So the metaphor of God as a parent is so much bigger than just being about love and warmth and forgiveness. So it is absolutely about those things too. It's also about heartbreak. It's about disappointment. It's about weariness and worry. It's about doing everything you can to raise your kids right and watching them go the wrong way anyway. Now, my parents can't relate to that, but most of us can. Tom's gonna text me in like a minute. To God on that stuff. We remember just how much we've done for our children, and they do not care because they can't remember and they don't understand. I know I couldn't until a couple of months ago, not really. In this passage, God is mourning what's become of God's children. God freed them from slavery in Egypt, gave them a way of life that brings justice and wholeness to the whole community. God forgave them every single they went astray. And yet, here we go again. Worshiping idols because apparently all that God has done for them isn't enough. They need some other God to do a better job. It's kind of like how kids might say they wish so-and-so's mom was their mom the minute so-and-so was allowed to do something your kid isn't. Never mind that so-and-so's mom ain't done nothing for your kid and you've done everything. Because kids are emotional terrorists. Just like God's people can be. And God knows the consequences of Israel's actions are going to be devastating. God doesn't want them to do it because it's bad for them. But the consequences have to come to pass. Israel decides to ally itself, to put its trust in Egypt, its former enslaver, and in Egypt's gods to protect them. And Egypt, of course, will turn around and bite them like Egypt and other empires always do. Israel's allies today will be their enemies tomorrow, and God has been telling them all along that they shouldn't trust Egypt, and that they don't need to trust Egypt anyway because God wants to be the one to meet Israel's needs. Got a text from mom that says, Leah, don't lie in church, so I told you it was coming. God wants to be the one to meet Israel's needs. And Israel didn't listen. And now those chickens are coming home to roost. The consequences for their mistrust in God are being borne upon them. And do you think God is happy about that? I mean, they're finally getting what they deserve, right? They'll finally pay for turning their backs on God. Justice should feel good, right? Well, how would you feel if it were your kid? I don't think good parents ever want their kids to get what's coming to them. I think we all want our kids to have more than they deserve. As if we can conceive of them not deserving the very best anyway. God is heartbroken. And even though Israel is paying for crimes committed primarily against God, God can't let them be destroyed. God has to intervene. God can't give up on us. God's love for us is far too great for that. It's so great that it's as if God can't help but keep on trying to get through to us. God might be angry, but the love is always bigger. The love always wins, always. This passage ends with a promise. The passage that begins with the story of a parent's heartbreak and all the ways their child has gone so far astray. It ends with God promising to gather all the children together again. God promises to heal them, to give them peace and a permanent home. That's it. That's the whole message. That in every way we love and ache for and are hurt by our children, God is too. And God doesn't do anything a good parent wouldn't do. God tries again, God loves again, God forgives again, and reaches out again. So no matter what you think you've done, even if it is in fact horrific, God isn't waiting for your return like a judge or like an executioner. God waits for your return like your mom waits for you to give her a call. So why don't you? Go home already. There's more love there than you will ever, ever understand. I invite you to join.